scripture tonight and find Ruth chapter 3, the Old Testament book of Ruth chapter 3. This is the third in a series of four sermons in the book of Ruth, which I'm calling the Gospel of God's Sovereign Mercy. And chapter 1, we talked about God's sovereign mercy to the bitter. That was Naomi, a bitter woman because of the circumstances in her life. There was a famine, and her husband, Elimelech, led Naomi and their two sons to Moab during the famine in order to find food. And while they were there, both her husband and her two sons died. She returned back to Bethlehem, bitter. And then chapter 2, God's sovereign mercy to the alien. Naomi had both sons to marry while they were in Moab. And when her sons died and she purposed to come back, she tried to send her two daughters-in-law to stay in Moab. But one by the name of Ruth said, "No, I'm going to go with you." In fact, she spoke those very famous words. Look in chapter 1, verse 16, where Ruth said to her mother-in-law, "Do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay, and your people will be my people, and your God, my God. And where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." Most Old Testament scholars would say that she had a conversion to the God of Israel, Yahweh, the God of descendants of Abraham. And so she goes back, or goes for the first time, I should say, as an alien. And there she finds God's mercy when she goes to glean in the field of Boaz. And we will see as a kinsman redeemer for them. And so tonight I want you to think with me from chapter 3 about God's sovereign mercy to the humble. God's sovereign mercy to the humble. And would you follow as we begin reading with verse 1? Ruth chapter 3, begin with verse 1. "One day Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her," that is to Ruth, "My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you will be well provided for? Is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman of ours? Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash and perfume yourself. Put on your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man, and he turned and discovered a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I'm your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." That's a key word in understanding the message of this Old Testament book. Verse 10, "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "Your kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. And all my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am near of kin, there is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good, let him redeem. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." so she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, don't let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor. He also said, bring me the shawl you're wearing and hold it out. And when she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and put it on her. And then he went back to town. And when Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, how did it go, my daughter? And then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, he gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. Then Naomi said, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. Well, the book of Ruth would make a wonderful Hollywood movie. In fact, I think it has. I've not seen it, but I think it has. It has all this drama and intrigue, and the plot intensifies when we get to chapter 3. Now, Naomi is a widow. Her daughter-in-law Ruth is a widow. And they are destitute. They have no one to care for them. She had gone to glean in the fields, and there she had found mercy as an alien, a foreign woman. And this kinsman redeemer, this man Boaz, had shown great kindness to her. And he had instructed the men to not harm her in any way. He had instructed them to leave extra grain in the field so that when she gleaned, when she went behind the workers to pick up the grain, that there would be plenty there for her to have. And he had an interest in her. There was no question about that. Apparently, there was some romantic interest on the part of Boaz as he observed this younger woman gleaning in the fields. Best we can assume, he was never married. Midlife, she was a very young widow. And so we come to chapter 3, we find a marriage proposal. Kind of strange to our way of thinking about marriage proposals. At least the ones that I hear about, and the one that I was involved in 40 years ago when I proposed to Kim, certainly not like this. She didn't propose to me. I proposed to her. Now, there may be in the room tonight a couple where the wife proposed and the husband accepted, but I doubt there are very few of those. But this is, in essence, what happened here. Ruth proposes to Boaz, and she's put up to it by her mother-in-law. So it's a most irregular marriage proposal. It's several levels. First, because it's a servant proposing to her boss. It's a woman proposing to a man. It's a younger person proposing to an older person, and it's a Moabitess proposing to an Israelite. Just very irregular. I want to suggest tonight that what Ruth did was an act of humility on her part, and what Boaz did in response was an act of mercy on his part. Now, it doesn't sound like a very humble thing to do for a woman to do the proposal. It sounded like she had a lot of brass. She'd be a little arrogant, a little pushy. Well, it is a little strange here compared to our American proposal mores and customs. But I am persuaded that it was an act of humility on her part, as she, in essence, is casting herself on the mercy of this older man, Boaz, who is her, will become her kinsman redeemer. 3 scenes in chapter 3. Scene 1, I'm calling a strategic plan, verses 1 through 5. Scene 1, a strategic plan. And the plan is hatched in the mind of her mother-in-law. This is Naomi's plan, not Ruth's plan. Look in verse 1. One day, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, to Ruth, my daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you will be well provided for? That's an honorable thing to say, and an honorable intention to have, because Naomi knows that she's not going to be in this world too much longer, and her daughter-in-law doesn't have a place, a permanent place to live. She's not well provided for. She doesn't have a husband. This was before the days of a safety net provided by the government like we have here. And she's just going to be destitute if things didn't change. Verse 2. Is not Boaz with whose servant girls you have been? That is, we read about that in chapter 2. She'd been out in the Boaz fields gathering grain. Is not Boaz a kinsman of ours? This word kinsman or kinsman redeemer is found numerous times in this book. He's a relative. Boaz is a relative of Naomi's husband, Elimelech. We don't know how they were related, but he was a relative of theirs. She says tonight, this is verse 2, tonight he, Boaz, will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. The threshing floors around Bethlehem in those days were on the hilltops. And when the grain would be gathered, they would take the grain on these rocky hilltops, and there they would thresh the grain. They would throw it up, and the evening winds would come and blow the chaff away, and the grain would fall down, and that's when they would do it. They would do it at night. And Naomi knew that, and she says, tonight Boaz is going to be out on the threshing floor, threshing the grain. So here is the plot that Naomi hatched up. This is her strategic plan to take care of her daughter-in-law going forward, her security going forward, and her welfare. Verse 3, wash and perfume yourself. Put on your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, and don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. In other words, get dressed, look nice, smell sweet. I had a friend in college days. He's always talking about he's going to get a date. He never got a date. I think once in all of his career he had a date. He kept talking about, when I get a date, I'm going to go dress nice and smelling sweet. Well, Naomi says right here, wash, perfume yourself, put on your best clothes, and then go down to the threshing floor. That's where Boaz is going to be. Don't let him know you're there until he's finished eating and drinking. And then when he lies down for the night, they would oftentimes stay out at night with their grain to keep it from being stolen. She says, note where he's lying, then go and uncover his feet and lie down. Now that is highly irregular. I don't recommend, young ladies, that you try this unless the Holy Spirit speaks out loud to you. In fact, I don't recommend that you lie down with anybody unless you're married to them. You just be extra cautious. Well, she says, go and lie down, uncover his feet, and lie down next to him. We don't know if they're parallel, perpendicular. We don't know. It doesn't say it. Because you have lots of questions with the text. The text doesn't always answer our questions, does it? And he will tell you what you should do. And Ruth, verse 5, I will do whatever you say. She had confidence in her mother-in-law. I will do whatever you say, she said. So she went down to the threshing floor and she did everything that her mother-in-law told her to do. That was her plan. Now, I want you to go back in verse 2, where Naomi says to Ruth of Boaz, he is a kinsman of ours. Now, apparently, Naomi had reason to believe that Boaz would look with favor on this approach, that Boaz had an interest in Ruth. You look back in chapter 2, verse 20, when Ruth comes in from gleaning and Naomi asks about the day, and she tells him, she says, I work with a man named Boaz, and verse 20, Naomi says, and the Lord bless him, that is Boaz. He has not stopped showing kindness to the living and the dead because he had given her this extra grain. And then verse 20, that man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers. Now, we're going to see how important this phrase kinsman redeemer is when we get to chapter 4 next time. And so we see that there's the connection, there is the family connection, but we also see that Naomi believes that this man, Boaz, would be amenable to an approach by Ruth because he had shown unusual kindness to her. And so she goes. Naomi's aim here is clear. It is to win a husband, a godly husband for Ruth, and to secure their future and to preserve the family line. What is not clear is if Naomi's way of trying to get Boaz to marry Ruth is a good one. It's not clear why she should go about it this way. We don't know why. Why not a conversation instead of coming in the night and covering his feet, lying down by him? John Piper says that is a highly suggestive and risky midnight maneuver. He asked this question: was Naomi indifferent to the possibility that Boaz might drive Ruth away in moral indignation? Or, he asked, that he might give in to the temptation to have relations with her? Did Naomi want that to happen? Obviously not. So let's go to scene two. I'm calling scene two a bold risk. Naomi had a plan, strategic plan, but scene 2, verses 6 through 15 is a bold risk. It was a risk she took. Verse 6, so she went down to the threshing floor and she did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. And when Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. And Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. That's a risky move. And in the middle of the night, something startled the man. Something startled Boaz. He turned and discovered a woman lying at his feet. So he's asleep. Something that startles him awake. You know how it is when you're in a deep sleep and you're startled awake in the night. You don't always know why, what's going on. He knew who she was, but nevertheless he asked, who are you? Perhaps he was not wide awake yet. Perhaps it was so dark he couldn't see well. She responded, verse 9, I'm your servant Ruth. Then here's the proposal right here. Spread the corner of your garment over me since you are a kinsman redeemer. She was in essence saying, marry me. Would you marry me? She was asking him to marry her. Spread the corner of your garment. I am a relative of yours through marriage to the son of Naomi. And notice his response, verse 10. The Lord bless you, my daughter. That's a positive response. He didn't push her away. He didn't say, what are you doing here in the middle of the night? Don't you know what's going on? The implication is he'd had his eye on her. She had had her eye perhaps on him, but she got encouragement from her mother-in-law to proceed. Verse 10, the Lord bless you, my daughter. This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. And then he commends her, says, you not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. Perhaps he had this thought go through his mind. I see Naomi, I'm attracted to Naomi. But I'm a middle-aged man, and she's a young woman, and she wouldn't want to marry a middle-aged man like me. She'd want a younger man, maybe a younger rich man. If nothing else, a younger poor man, but not an old man like me. Verse 11. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. He has just declared his intention not quite that simple. There's another obstacle to overcome. Then he commends her in verse 11. All my fellow townspeople know that you're a woman of noble character. Now remember, this is in the days of the judges. There weren't many noble people in Israel in the days of the judges. In the days of the judges, it was said that every man did what was right in his own eyes. People of integrity and morality and noble character and holiness were few and far between, including some of the judges that God raised up to deliver them from their enemies. They had a lot of problems themselves. Think about maybe the most famous of them all, Samson, who did deliver them, but wow, how many issues did he have in his life? So here's a noble man, Boaz, and a noble woman, Ruth. Verse 12, and although it is true that I'm of near of kin, there's a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. Now, the law from the time of Moses was when a man died, his near kinsman had an obligation to step in and marry the widow, to carry down the family name and the property rights. And in this particular case, Boaz certainly was a kinsman and a kinsman redeemer, but there was one who was a closer relative, and he had first dibs on Naomi. And you can read chapter 4. We'll get to that next time, how that worked out. He said, I'm willing to marry you, but there's somebody else who's got, he's got a greater right to marry you than do I. Verse 13, stay here for the night. In the morning, if he wants to redeem, that is the other relative, good, let him redeem. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. If this other man will not marry you, I will marry you. Lie here until morning. And she lay there until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, don't let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor. Just didn't look right. Verse 15, so bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out. And when she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and put it on her. And then she went back to town. That was an expression of his kindness, his mercy to her, his goodness to her, to give her far more grain than she would need for a long time to come. But not enough for the rest of her life. For the rest of her life, she needed a husband, a provider. So we find here that she took a bold risk. She could have been rebuffed. She could have been rejected. She could have been ridiculed. But no, she was embraced by Boaz. I don't mean physically, but she was embraced in her proposal. Her bold risk paid off. I want to suggest that was an act of humility on her part. One thing proud people are cautious to do is take a risk. A proud man or a proud woman is careful not to take a risk for fear that he'll fall flat on his face and look like a fool and somebody will laugh at him. So the way not to have your ego crushed is to just sort of stay in the background. Don't take a risk. Don't do anything that would cause you to look foolish in the eyes of others. She, I believe, was a humble woman. And this proposal that she, this irregular proposal that she made to Boaz, I am persuaded was an act of humility on her part. She followed the counsel of her mother-in-law. Scene 3, a hopeful future, verses 16, 17, and 18. And when Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, how did it go, my daughter? And then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, he gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. Naomi says, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. Well, it wasn't done yet. There's another redeemer out there, another kinsman closer that had son that God gave him. His name was Obed, who was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David, who is the forefather of the Messiah. This is the sovereign hand of God at work, keeping the line for the coming Messiah. Such are the ways of God. Let me pray for us. God, our Father, we thank you for the way you work in our lives. Lord, like Naomi and Ruth, we have circumstances that come our way, hardship, difficulty, sorrow, grief, that we would never have wanted or desired. But like Naomi and Ruth, we've experienced your mercy in ways that we would not had we not had crisis, temptations, and trials that would cause us to cast ourselves on your mercy. So, Lord, I pray you would encourage all of us tonight with the clear teaching of Holy Scripture that you are in control of all that you have made, that this world is not spinning out of control, that you, who spoke this world into existence and who created us for fellowship with you, who raised up Abraham to be the father of a great nation, through whom the Messiah came, in whom we have redemption, and who will bring all things to a great climax in the age. You are working in our lives this very day to show us mercy. And I pray that we might be humble like Ruth. We know that God said, you said, Lord, in your word, that you oppose the proud, but you give grace to the humble. So give us grace to humble ourselves this day and every day before you, where we desperately need your grace and mercy. Lord, I pray if there be somebody in this room tonight that does not know Christ, that tonight would be that time of surrender, of repentance, and faith in the finished work of Jesus on Calvary's cross. May it be so for his glory.